Bailey is popular, so is Bella, and Max, and Lucy. Or what about Chief Tater Tot, McLovin the Stud Muffin, or Johnny Neckbone? Simple or fancy, the name we give our pets helps form that pet-parent-animal bond, and it can also reveal a lot about ourselves. That's according to trainer Bob Ryder from Positive Transformations. When it comes to naming your pet, Ryder says a good place to start is with names that evoke a nice, positive feeling.
My dog's name is Daisy, and it's hard to feel anything but, you know, cheerful when you say her name or think of the association. The flower is pretty, and her personality is kind of
sunny
and sweet and charming, and seems to fit with the garden motif. It just makes you feel good to say it. Not as big a fan of names that, you know, evoke an angrier or frustrated reaction or associated with an event in life that wasn't very good. If, let's say, the dog had difficulty with house training early on, well, if you name that dog Puddles, that's pretty much one of the things that's going to come to mind anytime you say your dog's name, and you probably won't have a very good emotional connection that might get in your way.
What various types of names are there out there? In my family, we lean toward like literary names for giving our animals names. I had a cat named Jeeves. If somebody's a fan of Jane Austen, they might want to name their dog Mr. Darcy.
You know, love that.
What other types of names should we consider?
I have at least three, if I thought about it, maybe a few more dogs who are named for one or more of the Chicago Cubs.
Okay.
I have two Rizzos. I have a Brizzo.
Oh.
And a few others that I could think of. So sports themes are good. Like you mentioned, literary themes or movie themes. People might want to name their dog, who's the elf in Lord of the Rings. I've had
Legolas.
A dog named Legolas.
Okay.
And I've had a Gimli, and today I'm working with a Frodo.
And
I think all of those bring to mind a good association, probably do for their people. Anything that brings about a good thought. So I think being creative with the dog's name is just a great idea, something that fits the dog and that makes you feel a personal connection and kind of gets you ahead of the curve with bonding, you know, even before we're talking about anything to do with behavior.
Do we need to be concerned with names that rhyme with other words? For example, when the Obamas got their dog, they named the dog Bo. And my concern was, Bo rhymes with no, and the dog might associate the name with being told, no, don't do that.
Yeah, that's a great observation. For people who are inclined to say no to their dogs a lot, sure, the dog probably has a lot more difficulty making fine auditory discriminations than people do. Words don't come as naturally to dogs as body language does.
When animal lovers adopt a pet who already has a name, you know, like sometimes you go to the Humane Society and they have them on their website and cute little names for the animals there, and we take that pet home, can we rename that pet without freaking out that pet, a pet who already has a name, and we just think, you know what, I don't want to go around calling you Angus von Wigglebottom. I want to give you a new name. Can we do that without freaking out the pet?
Yes, we can, and it's easier than most people think. I get that question a lot. People who have kept their dog's name that they don't care for very well, but they thought it was doing the dog a disservice to change the name. It's worth understanding that for we humans, names come with the whole concept of identity, right? My name, Bob Ryder, evokes a whole story about my life, a whole arc of activity and the development of who I've become as an adult, and my pitfalls and my successes and my aspirations are all wrapped up in those three syllables, Bob Ryder. I know a lot about myself just based on that association. Or think of Laura Kennedy. Kennedy is an aristocratic name in, you know, America, and evokes thoughts of political dynasties and power and a lovely, vivacious radio personality for those who know you. So, you know, Laura Kennedy is an important thing. You wouldn't change your name without a really good, important reason to do so. Dogs, there's very little reason to think dogs have any sense of identity wrapped up in their name. We might, you know, Daisy evokes the whole story of how I got her as a puppy for me, but to her, that sound pretty much is telling her, hey, something, you know, she knows her name. If she hears us say it, she'll look up, her ears will perk up. But for her, that pretty much means something is about to happen or is happening that involves me. Is there an opportunity for me to get a treat? Is there an opportunity to go do something fun? Or depending on the tone of voice we use, just as important as the actual word, is there something to be leery of or stay away from? I don't happen to do it myself, or almost never, unless I am having an off moment. But if I were to say, Daisy, probably come yes. running from whatever she's doing. If I were to say, Daisy, same word, but she would know it's good to steer clear of whatever's going on over there.
Yeah.
So the tone of voice is as important as the sound itself. And therefore, it's perfectly fine to change that sound. In fact, probably a pretty good idea if a dog has a bad association with, let's say, Rex. You know, why did you do that? If they're adopting a dog who has a bad association with that sound, whenever I hear Rex, I'm about to get in trouble. Changing that dog's name to, you know, King means the same thing, but you can start to make much more positive associations with that sound, and the dog will have a much easier time hearing about things that they are to be involved in.
Well, what about nicknames? I think most people, they give their animal a name, but then there's also like little family pet names for the pets. Is that okay?
Sure, that's fine. Daisy will answer to a countless number of nicknames. Again, probably as much to do with the tone of voice we use when we say it, but I think even just in as neutral a voice as we can muster, Susan and I could say Snicklefritz, and Daisy's ears would perk up because she knows that's about her. But it's perfectly fine to use nicknames for your pet, and your dog can probably learn. Most of those seem to be about me.
Well, how do we help our pets, our cats, our dogs? How does a pet owner help their pet learn its name?
Easiest way at any point in the relationship, particularly at the start, is to get some really high-value treats or perhaps a toy that the dog really likes or make some activity the dog really enjoys readily available and say the name that you're either teaching or reinforcing. Just say the name and then go right to the treat. Daisy, hot dog. Daisy, hot dog. Daisy, hot dog. Daisy will learn pretty quickly that when she hears those two syllables, Daisy, something good is about to happen. This is called classical conditioning.
Thank you, Pavlov.
All sentient creatures, this is one of the ways all sentient creatures learn, our dogs included, so they can easily learn to associate any sound we choose with either a good or not so good association.
What's your feeling, Bob, about letting kids have their say in naming a new family pet?
That is such a good suggestion. Again, this goes back to the association that we humans make or invest in the dog. And the more all family members involved have some sort of emotional investment or claim on that dog being part of their identity or their activity, the better. You know, everybody could have their own nickname for the dog, and the dog could probably learn that, you know, when the 8-year-old daughter says, Boo-boo, that's for me, just like when dad says, Princess, that's for me. If, like most families, there is to be only one name, the more everyone can agree, yeah, this is one that we all like and feel good about, the more the whole family has a good investment in the relationship.
Well, should we keep those names no matter what the family decide? Should the name be kept short?
I think it's a matter of personal preference there. More important than short or long is how distinct the sound is.
So if I name my pet Captain Jack Barky Pants, is he going to learn all of that?
He will probably learn, a la Jerry Maguire, he will probably say, you had me at Captain.
Okay.
Where is my cookies? But if you need to get the whole Captain McBarky Pants out, he'll still know what you're talking about.
So I can name my next pet Optimus Prime Rib and we'd be okay?
Yes, he would. If there's Prime Rib in the offing, all the better, I would think.
That's trainer Bob Ryder from Positive Transformations. A dog by any other name would be just as fluffy. So if you're looking for a new furry companion to dub as you will, consider the Animal House Pet of the Week, or rather Pets of the Week. They're Shannon and Lola. These Bichon Frises are bonded BFFs who have lived together many years. They're a lap or two full of fun, sweetly affectionate, with a love of pampering. Whatever you call them, just call them together, because that's how they're going to be adopted. You can find Shannon and Lola at Wishbone Canine Rescue in Bloomington. I'm Laura Kennedy.